You ready for the word?
Well, let me see if I am. I like to test the air to see what is cooking. Turn in your Bibles with me. Let's go ahead and get started. To Deuteronomy chapter 28, I have a direction I want to go that we started going this direction some weeks ago. And then 41 came, right? 41 will come. And so this morning I started going over some notes of what I wanted to teach today, and something else came forth. So we'll see how far we get today with my plan direction. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Are you there? Praise you, Jesus. A very familiar passage to us. One that I recommend you read quite often is the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou will hearken, shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And these blessings, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now I want to stop right there for just a minute. God gave me the vision in December of the TV screen with all the scrambled pictures. Remember that? I'm going to keep bringing this forth. And he says, he said it represents all the different channels that are being aired through this building at one time shown on the same screen. In other words, there's channel 18, channel 36, channel 27, all the radio stations, satellite stations, all being shown at the same time on one screen. And how many know you can't make that out? I mean, Patty and I started coming over this morning and some song started playing on the radio she wanted to hear, but another station was playing over the top of it. So we were hearing the news and her song simultaneously. And we couldn't, you really couldn't follow either one. And think about hundreds of stations being played at one time on one device. It becomes unusable. And the Lord said, I'm bringing acceleration in 2018 at a rate you've never before known, and it's going to be so much happening at one time, you can't keep up with all of it. Is anybody beside me already experienced that this year? And I'm learning just to chill out in it and relax and say, God, you got this one. I've had to, because things are happening so fast, I can't keep up with all of it by my own ability. And God said, because things are coming so quickly, you can't handle it by your own ability. It's going to require you to call upon me for divine assistance, for supernatural provision, and it's going to cause you to transition into living in the kingdom of God. Now, we did the example. In fact, let's do this example again. We use Casey. Come on, Casey. No, we can't use Casey because he's already been here. Josh, come here. He's an athletic young man. Now, Josh, stand right here, face the pulpit. I've got a difficult task for you. I'm going to lay this right there, and I want you to jump over that piece of paper. Come on now, all right. Now, step back. Now, the next thing I want you to do is jump over the pulpit and land on the stage. Go. Right now, go. Thank you. I'm sure there's some people could. That's why I didn't just say the pulpit. He might do that when I wanted to clear to the stage, you know. He's got to do a Michael Jordan on this one. The point I want to make is when I said jump over the sheet of paper, he didn't think to call upon God, I need you. He just did it in his own ability. And that's how we've tended to live, even though we know God, we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Even though we have access to all the power of God, we do it by our own ability as long as we can. And in normal conditions, we only start calling upon God when we run out of our own resources. When things get too difficult for us to do, we don't have enough money, don't have enough strength, then we say, God, I need your help. I don't believe God ever meant for it to be like that. Why should we have to run out of ourselves before we call upon God? In other words, we should be saying, God, I know I can do this by myself, but give me strength to do it, right? I've learned this working on stuff. I've mentioned this many times. I work on a lot of things, cars, household stuff. I work on it. And invariably, because I have some mechanical abilities, I'll try to do it myself until I get to the one bolt that won't come loose. And then I call upon God. And then I start saying, why didn't you ask God for help at the beginning? You would have never had the, probably wouldn't have ever had the problem. And I'm learning to call upon God in everything I do, even though it's been challenging. Because we've grown up all of our lives doing it ourselves. Well, God says, things are coming in 2018 so fast, you can't do it all yourself. And you're going to have to learn to live calling upon God. Isn't that exciting? It sounds exciting until it comes to application.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's no fun feeling overwhelmed. It's no fun feeling like you can't handle it or what happens if God doesn't come through. But in this process, he's teaching us to be kingdom citizens, accessing all the blessings of God. And here he says, if you'll obey my voice diligently, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. God's trying to transition us into a place the blessings can overtake us, but they can't overtake you unless you live fully in the kingdom. Do you follow me? I mean, you know, Pat and I, we would go to the beach. I mean, we've been going to the beach for 35 years, I guess. And 36, 30 beaches, lakes, whatever. And when I go to the beach, if I can get my hands on a mask and some fins or something, I'm going as deep as I can go. You know, it's just, we got married, went on a honeymoon. Patty says, I hit the, we were in the Virgin Islands, I hit that beach. I went out in the water and didn't come back for 4 hours.
Literally.
I just went out in the open ocean or, you know, in the bay there, and I'm exploring. Patty, on the same honeymoon, we go to the most beautiful beach I've ever seen, Turtle Bay in St. John's. Crystal clear water. You can see straight out 100 feet, if not more. Beautiful fish. And Patty goes to get in the water, looking really sharp in her bathing suit. And she gets in, and she gets in ankle-deep water in a little pilot fish that long. They love to follow people. Comes to her and starts going around her feet like that, and she ran out of the water, wouldn't go back in. The point I'm trying to make is, you can't get in her bathing suit stay dry the entire honeymoon. And she got in the pool. We're at the ocean. Virgin Islands. She gets in the pool. I mean, it was gorgeous. You can't get wet unless you get all the way in the water. You follow? You can't get all wet. That's a long story to get to where I'm going. You can't have blessings fully overtake you unless you get all the way in the kingdom. And I'm convinced God's trying to transition us to living in this kingdom where everything he has can overtake us. Amen. I mean, Patty sticks her foot in the water in the beach, and it's ankle deep, and a wave comes in and almost got to her knee. The waves can't overtake you in ankle deep water. Amen. And so, we're being called. In fact, I believe it's by divine design all these things are coming on you at one time. Not to take you out, but to elevate you to live in a different realm. Amen. You're the one. Now listen to me on this. You're the one that told God, I want everything you have. I want to step into every bit of the power of God, the promises of God, the blessing of God that you have for me. How many said, I want to be blessed of God? I want it all. And so God says, okay, well, come on, follow my voice. You can have it all. And instead, we keep depending upon our own ability. What the world supplies, even the world's entertainment. And God said, I'm trying to get you in all the blessing and all the power, but you keep wanting to do it all yourself. So he says, okay, you prayed this, you asked me. The only way I know to get you to where you'll be fully dependent upon me is to accelerate everything in your life. Because we have a long way to go, and a short time to get there, is to bring so many opportunities and not breakdowns, not catastrophes, not hardships, but opportunities for advancement. You can't do it all yourself. And it's going to cause you to call upon me and move fully into my kingdom. Do you see this? So here's the thing I want to say. All the pressures you're feeling now, the challenges of all the overwhelming opportunities, are there because you asked for it. Now, the good news is a lot of this is also going to hit people in the world. But they have no place to go. But you know how to call upon God and upon His Word. Put the pressure on the Word. And God is going to elevate you. This is going to promote you to higher and higher levels of living in His kingdom and in His power. And that's what we've called upon God for. He's developing us. He's accelerating our spiritual growth. Amen. And everybody said, yippee. See, here's the challenge. God is allowing all this to hit you once because He knows He can handle it for you. Yeah. Amen. But our tendency is to go, oh my, instead of come God. And the tendency is to get overwhelmed, freaked out, have meltdowns, frustrated, or whatever, when we realize it's beyond what we can do, versus say, this is a job for super God. And call upon the Word, call upon God. And so what I want to start teaching this morning, if I ever get there, is this is a season you're going to feel like you want to quit, but don't quit. 41 will come. Amen? Now, will the accelerated challenges ever end? I don't think so. I think what you're in now is a taste of what you're going to be in for the rest of your life. Until the glory comes. Amen? Even then. I mean, what happens if God adds 10,000 people to the church in one day? You're going to be busy. But guess what? You've learned to trust in God's system. You've learned to relax and drink some lemonade and say, God, I just thank You for Your provision, Your supply. And I call upon the name of the Lord and watch God move in these circumstances. Amen? See, God brought Israel to the Red Sea. Amen. To a place they were trapped. And, of course, they failed the test. Started complaining, You brought us here to die. But God was just bringing them to a place of promotion. To do away with their enemies and show them He's going to deliver them when they get to the place they can't do it themselves. If God brought Israel to a series of Red Sea moments, because there was more than one, out of food, out of water, enemies they couldn't overtake on their own, a series of them. Even when they came to the Promised Land, Jericho, what an impossible situation that was. If God brought Israel to a series of impossible situations, impossible moments, to bring them into their place of promotion, into all that God had, into taking the Promised Land. Do you think you're going to escape that? Just because you're in the New Covenant, you're not going to have challenges. You've got to use your faith and trust in God to go into the fullness of His kingdom. No, see, Israel failed the wilderness test because they couldn't believe in God for all of His supply. All of His protection. But the New Testament church, with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, amen, with the fullness of the Word of God, is going to learn to totally trust in God's way of doing things in His kingdom. So you're going to have some situations that looks like it's all or nothing. But rejoice. God's the God of all. Never the God of nothing, right? Well, He's the God of all blessing and no sin. We'll put it that way. So He said, if you obey My voice, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, how many know it's valuable to read these blessings? Should we read them through right now? We're not going to teach on them in depth unless something happens. Verse 3 says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. That's whether you're in town or out of town, right? Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. I believe that's your spending account and your savings account. Checking the savings, right? Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. I love it. I don't care if they come in one way and flee seven, or come in seven and flee one. As long as the fleeing's in between the two, right? I had that gang that God had me step in the midst of a gang fight, and they scattered. I watched this verse come to pass. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people. Uh-oh, he put right in the middle of that holy thing. Amen. Letting God clean you up. Got to find where I left off. Verse 9. Unto himself as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Now, I need to stop right there because I can't pass up that phrase without touching on it. It says we're to walk in his ways. It said that the people of Israel knew God's name, but Moses knew his ways. Right? And the ways of God represent understanding the principles of the kingdom of God. The power of sowing and reaping. The power of the spoken word to command mountains to be removed. The power of forgiveness. The power of walking in love. These are all spiritual principles. These are the ways of God. And these are what determine whether blessings can come upon you. See, so often we get confused and think, well, if I'll just do what God tells me to know, I'll endeavor to always be obedient unto him, then blessings will automatically come upon my life. But I believe there's more to that. It's not that God rewards you just for being faithful to him. It's that you learn how the kingdom of God functions. You learn the ways of the Spirit, the ways of the kingdom, and you operate in those. Tithing is a spiritual principle. Listen, if God told me to tithe and there'd be no reward tied to it, I would still tithe. But he said it's also a spiritual principle. Amen. It's a commandment and a principle that he said if you'll tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven over your life. Rebuke the devourer on your behalf and pour out a blessing. You can't contain it. So the ways of God are the spiritual kingdom laws, not the Mosaic law, but the kingdom laws that lets you function in the power of God. Amen. And as we learn the ways of God, we can access the blessings of God. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thy rain, give the rain unto thy land, in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I read yesterday that America, for the first time in a long time, is the number one oil exporter of the world. Did you see that? We've taken over as the number one oil exporter, if I read that right. Okay, well, we're number one now. The crossover happened this last week, I guess. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Oh, praise God, I like that one, right? Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Now, the first 14 verse we talk about being the blessings of following after God, right? The blessing verses. If we read the rest of the chapter, he says, now these curses shall come upon those who do not obey my voice. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to read the curses because I'm only focused on the blessing. I like to read the curses as well to know what I've given a right to be free of. You follow me? because we've been redeemed from the curse. And so we can read those verses and say, and God set me free from every aspect of the curse. Why? Because I'm his child and I follow his voice. So we want to be those that have the blessings of God overtake them. But it's mentioned a couple times in this passage, something that is really, I've wondered about for some time. Go back to verse number 2. It's actually in verse number 1 and 2, but let's read verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, it's always made me wonder why this chapter said, you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God rather than the law of the Lord thy God. Because Deuteronomy was written by Moses. You understand? And in fact, Deuteronomy took place the last month before Israel crossed Jordan and went in to take the promised land. It was at the end of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, if you had to discuss all that happened and all of those 40 years from coming out of Egypt till going into the promised land, of all those 40 years, what was the most significant thing scripture that took place? What would you say? The Mosaic Law. Moses went up on the mountain and God wrote out the Ten Commandments. He gave him the Big Ten plus all the corollaries of the law. You know, all the other parts of Leviticus and Numbers that went with the law. I mean, here we see the end of Moses' life, and the highlight of his entire ministry was God gave Israel the law to walk by. And in almost the last chapter of Deuteronomy, God says, and all these blessings will come upon you if you obey my voice. Israel was never called to follow a voice. They were assigned to follow the law. Let me explain this for a minute. In Old Testament days, no one had ever been born again. And all that are born of women are born into sin. Every single Israelite, including Moses, Caleb, and Joshua, every single one of them was a sinner. Do you understand this? And because they were sinners, they were unholy temples unto God. Therefore, the Spirit of God could not indwell them. And because they were sinners, God said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Instead of me indwelling you, I need you to build me a man-made tabernacle to precise specifications. And of course, just like you are a three-part being, so is the tabernacle. I believe every part of the tabernacle represents a part of our triune being, right? Including the most holy place, which is your reborn spirit, man, once you're saved. And so there's the outer court, the flesh, the inner court, which is the soul, and the Holy of Holies, which is the Spirit. And so God says, build this tabernacle. And as they build it with wealth, to extreme specifications, built with excellence, then they make numerous sacrifices. Both Solomon and Moses made sacrifices regarding the sanctification of the temple and the priesthood. The blood of many animals was spilled so that tabernacle could be declared holy, cleansed by the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. And of course, every year a spotless lamb. And God said, I will inhabit this tabernacle. See, God at the time of Moses couldn't inhabit a man. So he inhabited a man-made building, but cleansed through ritual sacrifices by blood. But we know in New Testament days, God doesn't cleanse through the blood of bulls and goats. But he cleanses through a more perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb Jesus. And when you receive Jesus Christ, that blood was applied to your life. And it cleansed you of all sin. And because you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, a supernatural power, because you've been cleansed, comes inside of you and recreates you internally, recreates your spirit, man, holy. No longer a sinner, now a saint. You are, the Bible makes it clear, he that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, who's greater than anybody in the Old Testament. Because they had never been born again. So when you're born again, God purifies you internally. Amen? And instead of sacrificing bulls and goats on your behalf, Jesus' blood cleansed you. Amen, of sin. And now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And because now you've been cleansed internally, the Spirit of God is able to move inside of you and reside. The veil was rent in twain, and you have rights to individual, face-to-face communion with God Himself. You follow me? Person-to-person communion with God. You have that right. Without any division between you. Why? Because you've been made now a holy temple, tabernacle unto God. And now the Spirit of God no longer dwells in a temple made by man's hands, but within us. We are the New Testament tabernacles. Right? So let me discuss what you have that Moses didn't have. You have the born-again nature of God. Moses didn't have that. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. Moses didn't have that. Right? You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Moses didn't have that. You have the full Word of God given to you for counsel. Moses didn't have that. We have a whole package of resources to walk in God's best that Moses didn't have. Let me explain what else we have. Where Israel was led by the law. If they want to know whether they were to do something or not, they would go to the book. And they'd find out what the book said about, you know, the Pentateuch, what it said about, can I do this, can I do this, can I do this on the Sabbath, can I not do this, what do I do about my marriage? And they would have to go to the book to get an answer. Because they were not New Testament tabernacles, yet the Spirit of God did not dwell within them to lead them. But you have the indwelling of the Spirit in you. And the Spirit of God's peace within you will tell you what to do and what not to do. When you try to disobey God in anything, there'll be a churning down here. You shouldn't have done that. Or don't go there. Or when you know that what you're doing is of God, you'll feel a peace down here. Why? The Spirit of God is leading you. Scripture says in Romans 8:14, they that be led of the Spirit are the mature sons of God, right? The wheels of God. We are to be led of the Spirit. And we are a people that actually hear the voice of God within. Sometimes up here, but usually down here, you hear God. And you may not hear a voice. I don't hear a voice from God nearly as often as I just know what God would have me do. You follow me? And there may be a verse come to me to confirm it, but I know what to do, and there'll be a peace down here to confirm what I'm doing. I'll know this is God. It'll be settled down within me. And I walk led by that settling within and by the anointing without. Moses did not have the Spirit of God to allow him to follow that leading. So they had to follow me. They had to follow the Word of God, the law. And at times, the voice of God speaking to them. Now, here's the point I want to make. Of all the times God would speak to an Israelite, one in a million may be a voice. The rest would be just by knowing the law. But yet, when we come to Deuteronomy chapter 28, he says, if you obey my voice. Now, here's another question. Did Israel ever step into all of the blessings of God and be free of all the curse of God? They never have. They never even took all the promised land. They never stepped into all of it. They experienced pieces of it in times, aspects of it, but not the whole thing. What if, in God's original design, when he spoke this to Moses, it was more of a prophetic verse of an end-time Israel of God versus the current Israel of God? It was a promise to Israel. They never fulfilled it. But God has an end-time bride that's going to step into the glory of God. I believe will do just this. They will obey God's voice. Because why would God put in here, obey my voice, when he just spent all these books, all this time, all of Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, talking about obeying the law? But now he changes the voice. You won't find voice in very many places in the Old Testament of God telling us to obey him. It's if you obey my commandments, you obey my word. And he says it in here as well. Now we could say, well, Pastor Jack, he's just relating commandments to his voice. I recognize that. You know, God spoke to Moses on the mountain in a voice, and he translated to the commandments. I recognize that. But what if God intentionally put voice in here to speak to us in the end times? Because if he'd have put in, if you obey my law, it wouldn't have the same implications to me as it did if he said, you obey my voice. I believe he wants us to step in all of these blessings. I believe we're the end time generation that will manifest all of this. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, coming in and going out. Sickness and disease are far from our dwelling places. He's going to have his perfect bride walking in all of this. I want to be part of it. So as I started thinking about people in the Old Testament obeying God's voice, I recognized many people heard the voice of God. How many know Noah heard God's voice to build a boat? Right? Vuba, vuba. You ever listen to Bill Cosby albums? Amen. Who I guess is on his way to prison now. Noah heard God say, build the boat. How about Moses hearing God out of a burning bush? Or Abraham hearing God to leave his homeland and go to a place he's going to show him. They heard these voices, right? So there are encounters all through Scripture of men of God hearing the voice of God. But that was the exception versus the rule in the Old Testament. But now we're of a people of the New Testament who don't follow the law, we follow the voice. Now understand, we do it, align our lives with the Word of God, with the New Testament, but we're not bound by the whole Old Testament. Amen. My guess is every person here today is in violation. Good chance you're in violation of the Old Testament right now. Because it says you could not wear a garment of mixed fibers. So if you're wearing cotton and wool together or polyester with anything, if polyester, you're just out of bounds already. And I had all the leisure suits, believe me. It's obvious through Scripture God spoke to people in a voice in the Old Testament, but primarily they were led by the law. And the law became the foundation of everything they did, right? The Word is still our foundation. But we live our life not just being led by a law, but hearing God lead us daily in our activities. Amen. I believe Deuteronomy 28 is for us. Now, when I took this a step further, I'm just going to theorize for a minute, and I don't have the answers. If you have the answer, you can tell me later. But in the Old Testament, prophets heard the voice of God. I'm going to read it. Habakkuk says, and the Lord answered me and said. He didn't say, I got a revelation out of reading the Word. He said, the Lord answered me and said. Habakkuk heard the Word. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord's waters cover the sea, right? And you read Isaiah heard the voice of God. Ezekiel heard the voice of God. Samuel heard the voice of God as a still small voice. And the Bible says none of Samuel's words ever fell to the ground. He never missed it on a single word from God. Amen. He spoke what God said and it happened. And the penalty in the Old Testament for a prophet that missed it in prophecy was death. I'm kind of switching gears here just a little bit. If a prophet heard the voice of God and he prophesied it wrong, he was to be killed. Praise God, we don't have that penalty in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, we prophesy out of a leading, out of internal knowing. And now we're under a system of grace where we're learning to be led to the Spirit versus hearing voices. Because if you try to live your Christian walk by just hearing voices, you will be deceived. Satan is an expert at counterfeiting the voice of God. The Bible says he likes to sit on the temple on the throne of God as if he were God himself. So he speaks in your mind and he says, this is God. Don't go to church. This is God. You don't need to tithe. This is God. I understand what they did to you. You don't have to forgive them. This is God. You can marry that idiot even though he's not a Christian. Are you following me? Oh yeah, God told me. You are in for trouble when you start being led by voices. Amen. Now, will God speak to us in a voice? Absolutely. He told me to quit my job in a voice. I didn't hear audibly, but went through every cell of my body. But it must be combined with a spiritual peace within. Let me explain that for just a minute. When Jesus was crucified and his blood was spilled, it says, after he rose from the dead, he took his own blood. I believe this is the timeline. He took his own blood and he cleansed the heavenlies with his own blood. And when he did that, at one time prior to that, Satan had access to the third heaven. He could come before God and accuse the sons of God. You follow me? Remember Job? But after the cross, because the blood had been shed, Satan was cast out permanently out of the third heaven. He has no right to the realm of the Spirit. And because you are one-third Spirit, one-third of you, Satan has no rights to interfere with that realm. So what you get in your spirit, Satan has no ability to speak into that realm. He has no ability to tamper with that realm. So when you hear God down within, you can know it's uncontaminated by the devil. So now he's limited to speaking into your mind and putting a pressure on your soul and even on your flesh. So he tries to dominate you through thoughts and through voices, but any voice you hear should always be taken captive to hearing the peace down within. I get very concerned when Christians tell me how that God told them this and God told them that. And I always talk about what God told them versus what God is leading them into. And I want to know, what did you feel within when God told you that? Because the enemy's an expert at letting you follow a voice for a while that sounds great. Then he can lead you 180 degrees off track into some stupid stuff. Well, the same voice that told me to tithe is the same voice that told me to do this. That's the problem. You were led by voice. And Satan will tell you to do five good things if he can get you then to fall for that voice and do something stupid. I've heard people say, well, the devil will never tell you the truth. Yeah, he will. Salespeople. I think I learned this in Dale Carnegie, or taught. If you're trying to convince something of something, get them to say yes two times in a row, and the third time it'll be easy to say yes. So if I come to Robert and I say, Robert, that's a good-looking outfit. He'll say, yes. I said, you're a man of God. Yes. You need to give me $1,000. Huh? Oh. What I'm getting at is the enemy knows how to get you to agree with truth if he can get you to fall for the wrong voice. And some people have learned to follow a voice instead of the peace within, and they are going to be deceived before it's over. You've got to know how to be led from down here, what's down here, and that makes what's up here more tamper resistant. Amen. We're to hear both, but this trumps this every single time. Because Satan's been cast out of the third heaven, out of the spirit. And so you can hear God safely down here, not up here. Did you follow me? But it takes practice to hear God down here. We've spent so much of our life hearing God up here. It takes more effort to hear God down here and to examine and take time. What am I really feeling? To learn to really be led of the Spirit versus led by a voice takes effort. Because you spend all of your life living by what you process up here versus what you're hearing down here. Especially when what you were hearing down here was cut off from God until you were born again. But now, we have a more sure word of prophecy within. The Spirit of God resides within you and can lead you into all truth. So in the New Testament, because we're not prophesying always out of a voice, we're prophesying out of here. God may give you a peace and require you to speak out of it in faith. We can miss it. I've missed it with prophecy before. I don't remember what. It wasn't important, but just teasing. New Testament prophets can miss it. But in the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to miss it. And here's what's interesting to me. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit. They had to be led by a voice. What in the Old Testament? I don't have the answer. I'm just asking the question. What in the Old Testament allowed a prophet to hear God without fear of being deceived in what he heard? Because it would be unrighteous of God to tell the prophets, if you prophesy wrong, you're going to be killed, if he didn't give them a guaranteed way to know they heard right. Do you follow me? It's like saying, okay, if you flip a coin, if it lands on tails, you're going to be killed. That's not fair. Unless you know a way to make it always land on heads. Apparently, in the Old Testament, and things were different. In the Old Testament, God was able to speak to the prophets and confirm it in a fashion that Satan could not counterfeit. Because in the New Testament days today, he's counterfeiting everything he can, including the voice of God. And you'll see people stand up left and right behind a pulpit and say, and God told me this, and you know it's not true. God told me in 10 days he's destroying the world. Well, I haven't heard that one, but I did hear he was coming in 1988 and he was coming again in 2000 and God said he was doing it. And God said, when this is going to happen, this person's going to die and this person will live and this is going to have... You fight here. And God said it. Well, apparently and I believe there were as many false prophets in the Old Testament, even more than there are today. The king surrounded themselves with prophets. There was one encounter, I believe it was when Sennacherib surrounded Israel, the Assyrians. He said, I'm going to destroy you. And the king surrounded himself with all his prophets. And they all said, it's going to be fine. Or no, that wasn't, it was a different situation. That was Jeremiah, I think. I don't remember. And the genuine prophet came up and said, yeah, it'll be fine. You want to hear what you want to hear anyway. And they said, tell us, he says, no, tomorrow you're going to be destroyed. They had false prophets in the Old Testament as well as the New. But the real prophets had been given by God some surefire way to know his voice and not be deceived. I would love to know what it is. But the point I'm trying to make is things are shifted today. The prophets today are allowed to miss it, so don't bring your rocks to church. Because we're in a time of grace, a time being Spirit-led, that they did not have access to. Amen. Well, let's move on. Turn to, I don't want to go into that. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I don't know how many verses I can go through here real quick. Again, getting back on track about, even though these pressures are trying to overwhelm you, don't quit. I tell you what, I don't know how God deals with you. I believe He deals with every Christian somewhat different. But there's a verse God's given me time and time again when I start to feel overwhelmed and start to fuss. I know you never fussed at God. You never said, God, why, you know, when, God, when, how. That's a Joyce Meyer thing. How, God, how, what, God. But I'll go to God and say, God, I just feel like I've had about enough of this. And a certain verse will always come. We're not going there this morning, but a certain verse will always come to mind. And He'll say, you've not suffered yet to the shedding of blood. Me and you, God, me and you, right? Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Don't let minor challenges compared to what the New Testament saints went through bother you and pressure you to stop. Amen. It's not all that bad. Well, they don't like me. They didn't like you before you got saved either. Galatians chapter 6. I'm starting to ramble a bit. Verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you believe that? So if you sow obeying His voice, what's going to come upon you? All these blessings come upon you and overtake you. Right? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, following your spirit man, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting or life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, the blessings come upon us and overtake us. The enemy knows if he wants to disconnect you from your inheritance, from your blessing, from all your reward, his number one tool is to get you to faint. We do the chart up Thursday night about the different zones of, you know, walking in the kingdom of God. And one of them we call the burnout zone. Remember the burnout zone? And then part of the burnout zone was also the dull of hearing zone. That you've tried to do the right thing, you've followed God, but it seems like things haven't yet overtaken you as far as the blessing, and you're just fighting, you just feel like you can't fight anymore. And the enemy's trying to get you to quit. Because if he gets you to quit, it lets us know right here, it disconnects you from your reward. And I am reward motivated. Amen. I believe if I will follow God, it'll be better for me than if I don't. I believe if I sow to the Spirit, I'll reap a harvest much better than if I sow to the flesh. I'm not talking about financial harvest. Listen, I'm believing God for money. I've sown much for money because I need money to represent God in the fashion I want to represent Him. Amen. I want to sow to every good work. The point is I could care less about money as far as what I need. As long as I can buy a hamburger. You find I'm good. But God wants us to have money. He wants us blessed. He wants us to walk as representatives of the blessing of His kingdom. And I know if I'm going to properly represent what God's ordained me to represent, and you as well, we can't afford to faint. We can't draw back and wither away from the small challenges. We've not suffered yet to the shedding of blood. And God, and understand, He's called us to walk in blessing, but it's not going to go unchallenged. So here where He's talking about sowing to the Spirit, He throws in, and don't be weary in well-doing. What's that mean? Doing what's right. Doing what God leads you into. So then He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. God's wanting us to be so blessed, it overflows our life and blesses all about us. You know, James said, what good does it do to wish your brother to be fed and clothed and you don't give him anything to wear, anything to eat? He basically called it hollow faith. What if you don't have anything to wear, anything to eat? It's hard to bless your brother if you don't have anything. But God wants to bring an overflow to us that there's so much on our lives, we can impact everybody with the goodness of God that we come in contact with. At least that God leads us into being a blessing to. But we can't afford to quit where we're at. Now listen, we mentioned 2018 being a year of great transition. Transition is moving to a new level. Higher challenge, getting to that place you can handle new overwhelming assignments. So when all these things are coming upon you at one time, and God's trying to get you to transition to the kingdom of God, it's a time of great shift. And you can choose. There's only two choices. Quit or advance. And in this case, because things are coming so quickly, be overwhelmed and cry and quit. Or grit your teeth and say, God, I'm turning this over to you. I trust you in your kingdom and speak the word. It's only two choices. Well, I don't like those two choices. You told God what you wanted. Now He's brought you to the place that you have to choose what you said you wanted. If I asked you, say I asked you 6 months ago before I started teaching this series, and I said to you, how many want to flow 100% of God's kingdom? Every one of you would have said, me. Yes, I volunteer. What if then I said, but it requires you let go of everything you're holding on to now? Is there another way? You've probably seen the cartoon of the man who fell off the cliff. He's holding on to the little tree on the side of the cliff before he falls all the way down. And he's calling upon God, help me, help me. And God says, okay, I need you to let go of that tree. I'll catch you. Is there anybody else up there? What I'm getting at is we don't realize that to graft a branch into a new tree requires first the branch be torn off the old tree. You can't serve God and mammon. Let me restate that in a different fashion. You can't live in two kingdoms. You can't be dependent upon two systems. You got to choose one or the other. And God's saying, okay, you said you wanted this kingdom. Now I've got to tear you loose from this kingdom to get you fully dependent upon this one because you said you wanted everything I had that I could supply. So the tendency is when you're being pulled off the old tree. Did you ever pull a branch off a tree? I'm a kid. We've done this all our life. You know, you get a stick and you pull the branches off the stick. They never pull off cleanly. When you pull a branch off of a tree, just a small branch or whatever, it may break some of the wood, but it always peels a bunch of extra bark. A lot of times it doesn't break it on. You got to wiggle it back and forth to snatch it loose or whatever. But it's never just, okay, pull on, there it is. Pluck it right off. It doesn't pluck off. It rips everything around that branch. And you think you're going to come out of the old system without some pressure? We'll call it pain, but I'm talking about physical pain. I'm talking about anguish of, oh no, I've always depended upon that. Because God's trying to get us totally dependent upon this new system. There's going to be a ripping away of the old. And in the ripping away of the old is the place where you want to quit. I didn't know it would be like this. Well, I didn't either. April 1st marked 25 years that I went into full-time ministry. I remember it was just a couple years. 25 years now. I've missed like 22 years in between. 25 years, God said, quit your job. And I resigned April 1st, 1993. And I was convinced within a couple years, our ministry would be running in the thousands and tens of thousands, and money overflowing us and all this divine. I mean, no problems, devil under our feet. I was just sure that God was taking us straight from go to glory. I mean, you quit your job, what greater sacrifice could you make than to quit your job, your nice job, and live for God? So I made that step, and I think, okay, now the glory is going to overtake me. It's 25 years later. I'm still tearing away. But I'm a whole lot more in the kingdom now than I used to be. And the pain of the ripping away is nothing like it used to be. Now I can laugh at it. Where before God would say, sow that seed, and you had no money, it was like, oh, Jesus. And you sweated not like, okay, sure, praise God, here it goes. And just relax. I mentioned this Thursday night. I just finished reading a book I've been reading for like 4 years by Lester Sumrall. Of all these great men of faith that he's met. And at the end, he talks about what it takes to go into the end time glory. God showed him the glory coming and what it takes to go into it. And he says, so many ministers get focused on a building. And when they lose the building, they quit. He says, let's get another building. Meet in the basement. Whatever. Don't stop just because something didn't manifest on your schedule as you wanted it. Don't quit. We've got to be the same attitude. Just because there's ripping away a dependence upon a building or some supply that we thought we had or whatever, don't worry about it. My goodness, Patty and I have had supply after supply ripped away from us. Job, some of the retirement, other monies, inheritances that we thought would come. Now, maybe virtually nothing. God's trying to get us totally shifted over dependence upon Him. And I've gotten to the point, I'm enjoying the shift. I'm not always grinning every moment of it, but I know what's going on and I'm enjoying it. What I'm saying is, don't let the pressures overtake you that you want to quit. Laugh and say, oh, this is that Pastor Jack was speaking about. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I can't say too much or some of you may get scared. But we've made plans all of our life about how we're going to retire, how we're going to live, what is going to be our supply chain, and we don't know what's going to shift in these end times. Amen. Well, listen, I'm going to stop there for today. And hopefully you've followed what I've tried to express this morning. But God has blessings. He wants to overtake you. But we have to shift over to this new kingdom to let them come upon us. Because the waves can't hit you when you're in ankle-deep water. And when here's BJ's chapter. In Ezekiel 47, when the water was coming out from under the temple, first ankle-deep, then knee-deep, then waist-deep, then risen waters to swim in, that you couldn't swim until the waters were risen. And we said we want to swim in the Holy Ghost. Well, now we're in swim training. Amen. Praise God. And as God told Noah, how long can you tread water? That was Bill Cosby, never mind. Father, we thank you for your word. All you're doing within us. And we believe for a move of your spirit in these end times to sustain us, to supply, to help us through these times of acceleration, times of transition. And we refuse to shift our confession. We choose to let your blessings overtake us. We choose to move to this new realm. So, Father, just keep us illuminated what's going on, and we will hold you with everything we have. I speak supernatural strength to each one here today, each one watching by internet, through whatever means, that your anointing comes on them and strengthens them for the changes that they're moving into even now, and that a peace overtakes their soul to let them be comfortable in the shift. We know you're taking us into the glory, you're taking us into greatness. We refuse to quit, grow weary, dull of hearing, or lose our edge in what you're doing right now. I thank you in this church. It's a covenant church. There's no strife, no division, no envy or jealousy. And it's a church where we decree right now, sickness goes from everyone here. There's no sickness. There's no lack, and there's no oppression. We thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here this morning and you would like me to pray for you, I would be honored to do so. Otherwise, hug some necks, share the love of God, be a blessing.